Fusing regional soil and weather variability with site-specific canopy reflectance for improved in-season nitrogen fertilization recommendation.
All right. So I'll just go ahead and dive right into my presentation. So we know in general that canopy sensors, they do a good job of collecting reflectance information. And I'm focusing on that information specifically with corn. And Dr. Peter Scarf says in his nitrogen book that the canopy sensors do a good job, but the heart of sensor in management is through the algorithm. And so part of this research that I'll present to you today talks about one of those hearts, so to speak, and that's the University of Missouri algorithm. And so you can see it here. And just real briefly, this is a linear algorithm, and it uses the inverse simple ratio, which is a ratio of visible over NIR, which is different than NDVI. And it takes that ratio of the target corn, which is corn that didn't receive the full amount of nitrogen at planting, and then compares it to the ratio of the inverse simple ratio of the corn that did receive a sufficient amount of nitrogen, which we call the enriched reference. And then it calculates in fertilizer recommendation. So it was developed by Scarf et al. At the University of Missouri and then tested by him in 2011, where they saw approximately a $45 or $46 improvement per hectare when comparing to the farmer practice or farmer in rate. So the first objective is to evaluate the overall performance of the algorithm and then see if we can't use soil and weather information to make a stronger or more robust algorithm nitrogen fertilizer recommendation. So this study was conducted over 8 states, totaling 32 sites. That's four sites from each state, and I'll be presenting to you on 2014 and 2015 data. This is a 3-year project, and so we haven't compiled all the data from this year yet, but I will put that into this, the models and statistics that I have for here, and see how it changes as we gather more and more data. There was a total of 14 nitrogen treatments replicated 4 times at each site. Only 11 of them were used in this analysis, and you can see them here. The arrows that are black represent the target corn, and the arrows that are in red represent the N rates that were used for the N reference. And it's just the average of those 3 N rates you see there with the red arrows. And I will say this is an awesome opportunity to do canopy sensor work because all of these 32 sites use the same nitrogen source, the same plot plan. I could go in our plots in Missouri and go to plot 103, and it would be the same as I went into Wisconsin or Minnesota or whatever. It would have the same treatment. And so it was a perfect study to do this kind of work on. We did the canopy sensor reflectance measurements at V9 with the Holland Scientific Rapid Scan CS45. Like I said, those 3 nitrogen rates were used to calculate the N reference. And then because the University of Missouri algorithm was first calculated or made or created using the Crop Circle 210, we took a data set that the Crop Circle 210 and the Rapid Scan were used on and used the relationship to transform our reflectance data into a Crop Circle 210 equivalent data to use for this algorithm. And then we calculated UNR using a quadratic plateau regression. The soil information that we collected was from a couple different sources, one from Surgo, and those are the 3 main soil parameters you see there that we're using in our research here, the percent clay, percent organic matter, plant available water. And then we also took field measurements in all these 32 sites and sent them to our University of Missouri Soil Health Assessment Center. And got them analyzed for those same soil properties, percent organic matter, clay, and plant available water. And then all of those soil properties were analyzed on those 3 different depth intervals. The weather information that we gathered, at each site there was one of these hobo weather stations you see in the picture here, and it collected weather information through the entire season, but I'm only using the weather information from the time of planting to the time of sensing, which again was about V9. And then the weather parameters I'm looking at were growing degree days, total precipitation, the Shannon Diversity Index, which is if I understand it correctly, was used in the ecology sciences first, and it's just a measure of evenness of anything, really, and we're just applying it here to precipitation. So the evenness of precipitation from time of planting to time of sensing. And then we're using also this soil or weather parameter. It's abundant and well-distributed rainfall, which is that index of evenness multiplied by the total precipitation in that same amount of time. And it was formulated or created by Trimbley et al. In 2012, where they were relating nitrogen response to soil texture and different weather and soil parameters. The statistics we used to measure performance, one was the mean differences, which is just the algorithm recommendation, minus EONR, and then the root mean square error, which you want the smaller root mean square error value you have, the closer, the better performance or greater accuracy that tool has. And then we also compared the unadjusted algorithm to the fertilizer in recommendation that the farmer was going to apply at that site. And then we modeled those differences as a function of each of those soil and weather properties that I just showed you. And we also threw those models or used a cross-validation and stepwise regression to make sure there wasn't just one site influencing the rest of the model over any other sites. And then from those results, we used the most significant soil and weather variables to adjust the sensor algorithm. So you're going to see quite a few of these graphs, so I'm just going to explain this one once, and you guys can figure out the rest. So you have here on the x-axis your EONR in kilograms of N per hectare, and then on your y-axis you have the sensor recommendation, also in kilograms per hectare, and then you see this diagonal line dissecting the graph in half. And that's the one-to-one line. So ideally, the algorithm and the farmer really would all those points would be aligned exactly under that one-to-one line, suggesting that the sensor and the farmer could predict or come up with an equivalent EONR value for fertilizer. And then you see everything above that line means that the recommendations were overestimated. Everything below that line means that the recommendations were underestimated. And then you'll see that the farmer in rate is in blue, and then the sensor or the algorithm recommendation is in black. And you can see there's quite a spread of EONR values across the board from basically nothing to a little over 300 kilograms of N per hectare. And then the algorithm generally underestimated what EONR was, while the farmer, the producer, generally overestimated what EONR was. And then you can see some outliers there as well. So, and then if we look at the box and whisker plot, just looking at a different measure of performance, maybe more measuring accuracy, the value in the middle is the median value, and again, you want that value to be closer, as close to zero as possible, suggesting that algorithm or the farmer in rate was accurate. And then you also want that red box to be narrow, suggesting a smaller spread or range in values. And so you can see that they really kind of offset each other, and I don't know if I could say one was better than the other. They're very, very similar. And then if you look at their root mean square error values, also very similar, just 12 kilograms apart from each other. And so really, it's hard to encourage people to use this algorithm unadjusted. And for these 32 sites, there are some sites you could see that the algorithm did a really good job on those, getting it on the one-to-one line, the same with the farmer. And so it's just kind of, I don't know, it's a toss-up. So, can we make this algorithm better using soil and weather information? So, the significant after running our statistics and doing the cross-validation and the stepwise regression, it came back that the most significant soil or the most significant weather variable was that evenness of rainfall from planting to sensing. And then, when we just looked at weather and its interaction with Sergo soil variables, it was clay in the first 30 centimeters and its interaction with precipitation. And then when we looked at the measured soil variables that we collected, it was the plant available water in the first 60 centimeters and its interaction with precipitation. So, and then I just threw this in here because you can imagine over a regional scale, over 8 states and 32 sites, the variability in soil. And this actually just comes from a Wisconsin field. You can see that on the left-hand side, all those numbers, 1 through 4, correlate with the numbered soil cores on the right. And you can see within 45 centimeters of those holes, you get extreme varying depths of topsoil. And then about 100 meters away, a football field away or so, in the same field downslope, you get this nice deep profile of rich soil. And so we're trying to take some of this soil variability that we see. And so in Missouri, we have clay pan sites, we have a lush site, and we've got a river bottom site. And then you go over to Indiana, and you've got a loam site and a sandy site. And so that we're just trying to take all this information and see if we can't use it to better inform the algorithm. So you can see here, this is the algorithm unadjusted. And the colors, 2014 is red, 2015 is black, and then you see the root mean square in the top right. And then the adjustment's going to be in the bottom right. So you can see, again, it typically underestimated EONR, but when we add in that evenness of rainfall, especially that, and if you look at the top right-hand corner, that Missouri site, before it was way below the line, and once we start accounting for that evenness of rainfall, it falls right on that line, and our root mean square error drops to about 60 kilograms. When we add in both the weather and the soil, it's about the same as far as performance goes. And that's the Surgo collected soil. And then when we add in the measured soil variables and the SDI, we get an even better performing algorithm. And while that Missouri site, again, fell below the line, it's still a lot closer than it originally was. And there's other sites that have twisted and turned counterclockwise to fall into that line. So in a box and whisker plot, just, again, measuring the accuracy of these algorithms, you can see that as we added in soil and weather information, that red box gets narrower, and that value gets closer and closer to zero. We still have some outliers, some sites that we couldn't account for using soil and weather, but overall, we did a pretty good job of estimating UNR. And if we look at it as a percentage of sites that were within 30 kilograms of UNR, you can see that as we progressively added in soil and weather information, more and more sites were within that 30 kilograms of EONR. And then that last bar is just the farmer. You can kind of see where they stand. So in conclusion, alone the algorithm was pretty mediocre in determining or predicting an equivalent EONR value. And then the farmer chosen in rate and the unadjusted algorithm were very similar in performance. And then performance was best when we used both soil and weather information to modify the algorithm. And then most of the measured soil variables helped the algorithm more so than the Surgo soil variables did. And then just to kind of tie things together, again, the whole idea of sensor fusion or information fusion was to take this soil and weather information that we collected across the Midwest region and the site-specific sensor information that the canopy sensor collects, using the crop as an indicator of conditions, and then tying them together to come up with that stronger algorithm, which, to some extent, we accomplished. So with that, I'll just like to acknowledge my advisor, Dr. Newell Kitchen, my committee, Dr. Ferguson, Dr. Miles, and Dr. Scarf, DuPont Pioneer, who funded this project to my education, and then Curtis Ransom, the Missouri crew, and then the whole team of scientists from all eight different states, or the Pioneer Regional Nitrogen team. So thank you. Most of the time, North Dakota was rogue, and they did some of their own. I think we had corn after corn 1 or 2 years, or maybe this year we had a corn after soybean field. But for the most part, yeah, corn following soybeans.
So what other soil variable might you add in to try and reduce the variability in different feature predictions in the UNR? Even though you were pretty good at
Yeah, that's a great question. So the question is, what other soil variables could I use to help improve this algorithm? And I've thought about that quite a bit. And we have, so at these sites, we've collected soil EC measurements using a Veris 3100. We've collected a lot of soil nitrate data that we could potentially use to adjust these algorithms. So there's several. One of the things that it's expensive to take these soil measurements. So can I find another soil measurement through Surgo that a farmer or producer could go and get off the internet free from charge and then use, but I don't know. But those are some of the things that I've thought about, a soil EC, soil nitrate data, and maybe some other soil, like soil drainage class or something like that we may be able to use.
One last question. You focused on nitrogen in your studies, but did you
Great question. So what did we do to ensure that there wasn't any other nutrient deficiencies? So we did, before each growing season at each site, we would take some pre-plant tests, soil nitrogen tests, soil fertility tests, and if there was any deficiency in P and K, we would apply a sufficient amount or the recommended amount by the lab for our sites. And then we also, the first year we did it in Missouri, we saw some interesting deficiency, and so we took some plant tissue samples, sent it to the lab, and there was a sulfur deficiency, so we applied some gypsum. Yeah, good question.
I apologize for more questions. You might be able to catch them back later, but thank you.
Yeah. All right.